All right, a couple questions that have come in, Justin. We'll get to them briefly. But taking this concept to a street, now you're creating an entire neighborhood of agriscaping and creating your own farmer's market. I mean, the ideas and possibilities just continue to snowball. But before we talk about those, because I'm sure the look in your eye, you're going to have a few examples of where and how that's already taking place. But as soon as we hit the break, you grew on top of goats, chickens, and you brought in aquaponics and fish. What did you call fish to get away with it? You called chickens your jungle
ornamental jungle fowl.
Ornamental jungle fowl. When you're fishing tilapia, did you have a creative name you needed to pull off to get those snuck into HOAs?
No, we really didn't need to do that. I mean, because we do it in fish tanks, you know, we'll do them in a pond. You know, koi is just a really elegant carp. You know, I mean, when it all comes down to it, and you can eat that too if you'd really like. But you know, for $300 for a fish, you probably wouldn't do that. But you know, if you're putting, you know, the West Nile tilapia, it's actually a pretty fish. If you've ever actually seen it, it's a pretty fish. It's got cool tiger striping on the side, some blue kind of gill look to it. It's a pretty fish when the water's clear enough to see it. But most ponds and lakes, you know, they're not clear enough to see it. So we like integrating into your ponds, you know, doing the fish right inside of that, doing cage raise. So you can even cage raise them in there. It makes it a lot easier on the harvesting side. I'll just say that. Or you just do traps. You know, I mean, if it's your own stuff, you can trap your own stuff. You can't go out into the river and trap trout with a cage, but you certainly can do it in your own backyard.
Now, I'm going to throw you, maybe, I don't know. You had an answer for everything I've had so far. I may throw you a loophole being a descendant of the Cajuns. You ever done anything with crawfish?
Well, with the freshwater prawn, we can work with the freshwater prawn, which is more on the flavor profile of a soft shrimp. But with the crawfish, we haven't done much with the crawfish. I mean, we've got some students in Louisiana that are definitely into the crawfish, and so they're trying to figure out how to integrate that stuff. Those things are garbage eaters. I mean, that water's got to be like mucky dirt kind of look in order for them to really thrive.
Well, you know, all those clear rim lakes up in Arizona on the rim are full of crawfish.
That's very
true.
That's
freshwater, clear crawfish.
Yeah, down at the bottom. I remember harvesting those when I was a kid up at just right up on top of the rim.
So, all right. So there's really no limit that we've hit here. Have you ever run into the pond gnome in these? Because he went from designing these ponds to these decorative ponds, like living ponds you could swim in.
Yeah, call them the recreational pond. So I know Paul. Paul's a great guy. We work with him a lot. You know, we've got a project.
Paul and Barbie.
Yes, Paul and Barbie, and we're working on a 3-pond system right now that's just finishing out. I mean, it's he's a great guy, and he's got some great product that he can create because they look so natural, and we grow a lot of food in those ponds when we do them that way.
Now, what do you mean in those ponds? Are like you putting like the watermelon seed there so they're like right on the bank and they've constantly got a water source? Or,
well, it's a more special type product. I mean, you think about a lotus flower. If you've ever heard of a lotus flower, that is an edible flower. Taro root, like you can get in Hawaii or some of the Polynesian islands. You know, we grow that. Ginger or turmeric. Herba manza, you know, there's miner's lettuce. There's some other Chinese types of lettuce that grow really good in those aquaponic kind of scenarios and in those ponds. And so we do it on the periphery, and it becomes part of the filtration system for your living pool, in a sense. And it helps clarify it. So Paul's really good at making sure he uses plant life to then filter and create that biofalls and a biofiltration system. And we then add to that by making it even better by actually planting edible plants in it. So we're able to then recycle and even pull that stuff out and then regrow new things. And I mean, you can even do sweet potatoes actually in some of those on the periphery, on the edges. And when we design them with Paul, we make sure that we design them in such a way that we got stepped landscape that some get a little bit of water, some get a lot of water, and we're growing the stuff in those spaces to accommodate it.
Oh, fascinating. Fascinating. Well, I have been very much enjoyed this hour. Quickly addressing the question of taking this to a neighborhood concept, like our texter earlier, and you know, if your landscape is maxed out, but you've got a neighbor that's been interested, you can, you know, you multiply this 4 or 5 homes on the same street, and I'll do the melons, you do the cantaloupe, you do the oranges, I'll do the lemons.
Yep, that's a great way. We've had a number of little communities. We've got a little a subdivision that's got like 12 houses in it, and they're all kind of teaming together to create their own little co-op. You know, with the agriscapes and going on in that. But we also have commercial developments. I mean, there's a North Glen. So the village at North Glen right here in Phoenix, they're selling houses. There's about 40 houses in there, and we're agriscaping all the common areas. And so around the pool area, there's mangoes and guavas and apples and bananas that are all growing around the pool area. And so the way the HOA works there too, it all integrates so that there's an allowance for people to go and pick stuff and have their own herbs right there in their front yard, and it's all integrated in. I mean, it's cool.
Kids swimming, need a snack, you don't have to worry right. about them not drying off, walking wet through your house to grab something out of the fridge. Just, hey, kid, grab a mango.
Yeah, there you go. There's one right there. Go grab that. There's an apple right there. Go. Yeah, there's a guava. You know, go grab that.
Now, do you have a website people can go look more and study into this?
Easy to one is agriscaping.com. Just go to agriscaping.com. Whether you're do-it-yourself or you want it done for you, we've got some resources there to help you out. You can go to the Get Started, and it'll give you some resources there to find someone who can come out and help you out, align things, see what's possible, and to get the professionals to do it for you, or the do-it-yourself classes that you can jump right in online and start getting trained and get aligned with a local educator that can come help you out.
Did you create this T-shirt? Kale, yeah.
Kale, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun one. We've had some fun. There's a lot more coming. I'll just say that.
Okay.
We've got a few guys on our team that love coming up with new puns that are a little on the edgy side.
All right. Justin Rauner, Agriscaping, agriscaping.com, Elegant Edible Landscape. Thanks for joining us this Saturday morning. Stay tuned. We're going into the 9 o'clock hour, the open line hour. We have special guests from the city of Phoenix coming in talking about recycling. And although they are from the city of Phoenix, recycling applies to anybody that lives in the great state of Arizona. We've got some incredible resources from people who've been doing it a really long time. That's all right here at Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 30 years.